So a couple questions come from this whole leak thing. A, who is leaking? Are these starters? Are these bench guys? Are they practice squad guys? Do they even matter? Are they guys who have been released? You know what I'm saying? And because it's anonymous, right, exactly. Where is the level of importance of these guys? Because, which means that his quarterbacks are absolute basura. Say it for me, Pat.
Basura.
They are absolute garbage. And Terry McLaurin is still out there balling. With everything that we've seen with the Cowboys on defense, their miscommunications, the false steps, the bad reaction time, all of that. Even with these shit quarterbacks that Washington is going to trot out on Sunday afternoon, I am so afraid of what Terry McLaurin is going to do. I told you.
Yo. You got me?
Yeah, I got you now.
All right, what up, Brad?
Man.
All right, let me finish getting this situation. I think I'm all set for the most part.
All right.
I think I'm all good. Had some last minute CBS-ness to get hammered out. Listen, I couldn't even enjoy my nectarine. I was trying to get my nectarine on. I couldn't even get my nectarine on, man.
Are you being healthy? I'm eating Pringles, so I mean, you being healthy.
See, we cut from the same yet two different cloths here. But to be fair, I'm not going to dog you and judge you for that because prior to me coming down with COVID and you know involuntarily losing 16 pounds in 10 days. I was on my thing, right?
Yeah.
I was getting my IPAs in. I was getting my steak on, my pork chops and everything. And the thing is, though, about COVID, man, like when people say it rewires you to a degree, it really does. Because, like, for example, with the lack of taste, right? First, you lose, you know, does different things to different people for the most part. But from my standpoint, I completely lost my sense of taste. And it wasn't because of the congestion, because as the congestion cleared up, I could breathe normally through my nose. Then obviously it was a question of lung capacity, but my sense of taste was just completely gone, which was weird. So then the sense of taste starts to come back. And then you start realizing that some things don't taste like
the
they
same.
Normally taste.
Right.
So because it was this whole weird thing, like, for example, I tried to eat just yesterday, for example, I tried to eat a hamburger, right? And, you know, it was a Five Guys burger. So, you know, that's yeah. God flow, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't hitting right. It didn't hit right. And that's not the first time. Like, man, there's some other things that I had been eating as well. And it's weird because, like, the nectarines, for example, taste completely normal. Fruit tastes completely normal. Pineapples, watermelon. I mean, all the
processed
fruit that
shit.
I eat. Yeah, all
processed
the fruit that
shit.
I eat tastes perfectly normal. But like you said, the processed shit tastes weird now. So now I find myself, and again, I would not suggest the COVID diet to anyone. But since I had to go through that shit,
right,
I'm going to find the silver lining. And the silver lining outside of hopefully the immunity from the disease going forward is that my body, it just really wants like fresh shit.
Yep.
Right. It really wants like fruit and, you know, fresh vegetables and things like that. And I really have like this distaste right now for a bunch of the processed shit. So like, man, I ate some sour cream and onion chips 2 days ago. I didn't even, it was one of those snack size packs. You know, you're a dad,
yeah.
So you get the big joint.
Oh, yeah.
With the variety pack.
Right.
Pack. So I went to grab some sour cream and onion chips just to kind of snack on. Dude, I got through three chips and I closed the bag.
And you was
it
done
just,
with it.
It tasted bad. So, like I said, I'm not going to judge you, but, you know, if God wants to you know, utilize this COVID ass kicking as a means of helping me eat healthier. I'm not going to fight it.
It's probably your body is. I mean, your body is such an amazing. The body is such an amazing.
No, you're right. The first
machine.
Time.
No,
you're right. The first
the
time.
Body, the human
you're
body.
Right the first time.
This motherfucker. Here.
You're right. The first.
The
time.
Human
I'm
body.
I might
the human body
16, but I'm
is
still,
such a.
I still got my joints, you know what I'm saying?
The human body is such an amazing machine of how everything works, you know, intricately. And it's most likely your body commanding that it needs help healing the damage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The damage that was done. So it needs these things. And it basically is telling the rest of your senses and the rest of your brain synapses firing.
Right.
Better go ahead and fill the body with, you know, more healthy stuff to help to recuperate there.
And I'm not going to fight the reset. So I'm not going to say, you know, in a couple of weeks or so, I'm not going to get back on my red meat because, you know, I'm gonna get back on my right. but when I do, it'll be a much more balanced situation. So
that makes sense.
You know, I'll take this as a blessing in disguise. So, yeah, my nectarine's gonna be all right.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead.
You know who might not be all right? It's Cowboys. We're gonna jump into that though.
Yeah, I see you rocking your Georgia Bulldogs there.
Yeah,
you know,
man. That's who's up next this weekend.
Rocking the. The real Bulldogs, Bowie State, baby.
Listen.
Bowie State, HBCU, player.
I caught the shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was about to – first I was going to give a process, and I was like, wait a minute, that's the wrong color.
Nah, this is the right color.
Then I was going to throw some shade, but then I was like, HBCU, I don't throw shade at HBCU.
You can't. We'd have to kick you off the show.
Yeah, I could, but I won't.
We'd have to kick you off the show, man.
Listen, you want Uncle Thomas me?
Hold up, brother. Are you saying that you do not believe in historically black colleges and universities? Is that what you're saying?
Nope. I'm saying they are the bestest.
I'm saying,
although I went here, in hindsight, I would not have minded going to an HBCU instead. So that's an education that I'm passing on to my youngins. So that they can make a more informed decision, because these are, you know, decisions that weren't necessarily put in front of us.
Right.
In front of us, it was always go to the big school, go, you know, get this and get this. But I really wish that as parents of any color, but more specifically parents of color, that we did a better job of presenting options to our kids instead of trying to steer them where we think they should go. So shout out to all the HBCUs. Absolutely. Especially Savannah State. I see you, baby.
for me, it was straightforward. My parents met at Howard, so I'm a Howard baby from both parents. So it was already ingrained in me that I was going to do HBCU. So when I came out of high school, the only schools that I applied to were FAMU, Hampton, Howard, and Maryland. I didn't even apply to Bowie State because Bowie State is, you know, a local state school or whatever. So it was the three HBCUs and then University of Maryland. So I went to Hampton, did a couple years there. Whatever happened, ended up leaving Hampton, coming home, transferred to Bowie State. So I had no doubt at all that I was going to do HBCU coming out of school.
Well, listen, I got accepted into both Clark and Morehouse, but the reason I didn't go to the AU was because of Spelman. I was going to get myself in some trouble. I was going to get myself in some trouble. So I was like, let me stay away from the AU, you know.
Yeah, Hampton, going to Hampton – and, you know, going to – this is the reason why I'll vouch for HBCU so much, because just to be inundated with that much black excellence and to be able to see it, know it, and just
feel
be engulfed
it, taste
in,
it.
Just to be engulfed
the
in.
The energy, the air.
And I didn't pledge – you know, I probably look back on that a little bit differently. Like, I didn't believe in fraternities back then. I probably would pledge if I had a chance to do it all over again.
I still
now.
Wouldn't.
But it was never my thing then. But I see how the frat brothers are later in life. Like, for that time period, I had no interest in it. But I see how frat brothers are with each other now, and I can see the reason behind that camaraderie.
I
can see that. Back then, I had no interest. I hated frats back when I was
It's not that I hated them. I just saw no interest in it. Because I think it also goes to just the – you know, how the individual is wired. So, like, for instance, when it came to me, and just, you know, from my background, I've never been one to, you know, jump into gangs. I've never been one, you know, to just, oh, there's the crowd. Let me go see what the crowd is doing.
Right.
I'm always the one like, oh, there's the crowd. Let me go over here.
And do my own thing and set my own path. That was my whole thing.
So that was the whole thing for me as well. So, you know, shouts out to all the frats and all the soros. You know, love you ladies and gentlemen to death. But it's not for everybody. And so even now looking back, I don't regret not jumping into one. But I could see the benefit of having done so if that was my path to do so. So, you know, we all make decisions. But you know, in 2020 right now, if you ask me, hey, you know, would I do it? I still wouldn't, because it's just, I'm more of the lone wolf kind of.
Right. Yeah. Now I feel you on that. Yeah. Yeah. So, I feel you on that. You know, it's definitely,
it's either going to be my pack or it ain't going to be a pack.
That was a big thing. That was a big thing. Everybody, the whole idea that everybody had to, not kowtow is a bad word for it, but basically follow the lead of somebody else. I didn't at the time have the understanding of being able to submit yourself and still be a leader at the same time. When I was viewing it back then, it was like, I'm not having anybody.
I'm not with the humiliation also.
Yeah, I'm not with any of that. I'm not with anybody barking at me. I'm not with any of that.
You're not going to haze me.
Right, exactly.
I'm not from that background.
Had no interest in any of that whatsoever. None.
So quick.
None.
You can't haze me because, yeah. You know, you can it's catch just hands. Not, it's, That's it's, just how it goes.
And you kind of have to be willing to do it's that haze. In order to get – you know, yeah, yourself in yeah, the yeah. fraternity. So that never had any interest in me. Right. Yeah. That wasn't ever, trust me, self-deprecation ain't my thing.
It ain't my thing at all. and if you can, you know, and it's the same reason, or one of the same reasons that I didn't join the military. And it's not for any lack of respect. I was raised by military men and women. Okay. I have officers and just several ranks of the military. And there are literally in my immediate family servicemen and women in every single branch except for the Coast Guard for some reason. There are no Coast Guard servicemen or women in my family. But Marines, the Army, Air Force, and the Navy. I mean, immediate vicinity. And that's who I was raised by, just those four branches for the most part. And they all used to try to get me as I was coming up to join their branch, right? So, you know, my late uncle, who's a Marine, because there's no such thing as an ex or former Marine.
Right.
So he's a Marine. And he used to always try to get me there. And then my grandfather and my dad, you know, for whatever he was worth, he was National Guard. So he tried to get me National Guard. My grandfather tried to get me Army. My brother-in-law tried to get me in the Navy, so forth and so on. But I could never get past the point of you have to be broken down completely in order to be rebuilt. And I'm, you know, this is 15-year-old, 16-year-old me looking around at my environment. I'm like, look, I'm broke enough. I don't need to be broken down anymore. I'm trying to rebuild myself how I want to see myself.
Right.
So again, if I'm not the alpha of the pack, and it's not to say I have a problem with authority, because as you know, I mean, I don't.
I mean, I'm the authority on this show, and you have no problem.
I was forced to work under.
Yeah.
Under your duress. Yeah.
And you did. You only tried to undermine me like 3-4 times a week. Like. It was nothing. It was nothing.
No. I had to make you understand, you know, the value that I, as much appreciation as I brought to the table for you, there was also a certain sense of value. Like, you know, you ain't going to be treating me like Adam over here. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know.
Because Adam
you was an all right contributor. I was able to get past your shortcomings.
But I was like, look. You called me, so you recognize the skills. All right, man, let's get this jump.
Yeah, let's get it going. Let's rock for these people, man. Pre-roll is done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to get into this show. It is week 7. It is week 7 already. It feels like 2020 is so weird. It feels like everything is taking forever and everything is still just flashing by. Like, I can't believe we're already at week 7, but I can't believe we're only in week 7. How much more? Let's get the show going.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. You are now rocking with the best, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in to another exciting, exhilarating episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. That is my man, 5 Grand, Patrick Walker. Find him on Twitter at Voice of the Star. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome back to the latest episode of Catch This Fade with KD Drummond and myself. Getting some lung capacity back, getting my energy back, getting my swagger back, and I wish the Cowboys were doing the same, but we're going to dive into why, although I am coming out of the worst of my illness, which was COVID, the Cowboys, unfortunately, are still plagued with several issues that will likely not end well for them in week 7 either. So, yeah. KD and myself, we're going to jump right into it, and we're going to tell you what to look forward to. And I use that phrase loosely.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. More so what to be aware of going into week 7 with this matchup with Washington football team.
Yeah, the Cowboys may be infected, and they have not had any positive COVID cases. But
thankfully,
they may be.
That's knock on wood. That's the one thing that's going well.
Yeah, please knock on wood. Yeah. But they may be contagious, and we'll talk about that in a second. But before we get into the malaise and the funk that this team is in, let's talk about some roster changes that have happened recently. The first and foremost is that clearly we had the issue with Zach Martin leaving the game, leaving week 6 against the Arizona Cardinals on Monday night with a concussion, short week, short turnaround. They have not heard yet, as of our recording on Thursday afternoon, that Zach Martin is going to be cleared to go. It is my estimation that this is a more serious concussion than the concussions happen on a scale, and you can have ones that affect you for a day. You can have ones that affect you for a week, for a couple weeks, or for longer.
Or you could be Rico Gathers.
I haven't even.
No, I'm not. But I'm not saying it, you know, jovially, like seriously. Or you could be Rico Gathers and you could miss, you know, several weeks due to concussion because everybody's brain is literally different. Right. So the same impact with the same force at the same angle could have me sidelined for, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, but could have you, Katie, sidelined for, you know, 2 days.
Well, so, my brain would clearly be recovering quicker than yours. That's pretty obvious of how that would work.
That's only because it's smaller, so there's a whole bunch more room. And because there's a whole bunch more room, it's less likely that your brain surface would actually make contact with the inside of your skull, whereas mine is resting snugly up against the interior of my skull because it is, in fact, the bigger of the two. So, I mean, I can see
why the lack of brain power would lead you to that conclusion.
Yours is like a... It's a balloon in a living room, right? Hey, so,
my mama loved me, okay? That's all that matters.
So, mama's supposed to. Does she have a choice?
Yes. So, facts. So, Zach Martin, we still don't know what's going to happen with him, whether he's going to be able to play on Sunday against the Washington football team or not. Connor McGovern will probably start in his place as he did. He filled in for him. We haven't heard anything about Joe Looney coming back, so I think we're pretty secure in the fact that if it's not Zach Martin, it'll be the two Connors at guard for this game against Washington. The bigger issue happened after the game where we learned that Brandon Knight had a knee injury and he had to immediately have surgery. He's going to be out for at least a couple weeks. They haven't even told us what the knee injury is. I don't think we've seen any report.
No, they just said that he had to get a knee scope.
That's the
most details I've been able to come up with, and that's the report we're seeing as well, just arthroscopic knee surgery.
So hopefully it was just a cleanup, a check to see what was going on. They didn't see any additional damage while they were in there, and he can make it back by November. But for now, we are going to see Cam Irving starting at left tackle.
The guy who lost out to Terrence Steele.
That's exactly what I was about to get to. Set the scene. During the offseason, Cowboys let Cam Fleming go. Cam Fleming is now starting with the New York Giants, and no, Cam Fleming is not good. But they let Cam Fleming go to rejoin with Jason Garrett, and they signed Cam Irving, who is famously from the Cleveland Browns, spent last season with Kansas City, et cetera, et cetera. Cam Irving was not good enough to beat out an undrafted free agent. And when Terrence Steele started in week one, the talk from Mike McCarthy was how impressive Terrence Steele was in the offseason and training camp. They couldn't deny how great this guy looked. And all of this, hibbity-hoo-ha.
Hibbity-hoo-ha.
And then we saw that the tank top screamed, Lotto, I don't fit you. Because Terrence Steele has not been good. He hasn't been good. And I don't blame Terrence Steele. He's an undrafted free agent out of Texas Tech. I don't blame him whatsoever for not being good. But the fact that he was better then Cam Irving, asterisk by that, we'll return to that in a second, tells you everything you need to know about Cam Irving. And now we're going to put him on the left side with Andy Dalton behind center. Andy Dalton, who clearly in the first game was not prepared to handle any sort of pressure whatsoever.
Deer in the headlights.
So the hope is what I've said on a couple of shows before. I don't have faith in Joe Philbin evaluating this offensive line correctly. So the hope is, yes, Connor McGovern actually wasn't bad against the Arizona Cardinals on Monday night. So my hope is that Joe Philbin has just been, excuse me, really bad at evaluating the offensive line, and Cam Irving was actually a better player than Terrence Steele, which would then lead to him being serviceable at left tackle this week against Washington. And Washington has a very, 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 very strong defensive front that's
Thank
coming
you,
to the Vare. Table on Sunday.
Thank I think you, Mr. Vare.
Okay. Very, 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 very strong defensive
Washington front. Has arguably one of, if not the best defensive front of the entire NFL.
Yeah.
And they're about to go against a Cowboys offensive line that is, you know, it's one thing to say it's patchwork. We're way past patchwork. Yeah.
Patrick was this week four.
Yeah, this is, you know, next man up type situation. And as you stated with Zach Martin, we don't know yet if he's going to be cleared to play from the concussion protocol. So you're looking at a situation where if things continue to go as the Cowboys hope when it comes to Cam Irving, you'll have Irving at left tackle, Connor Williams, Tyler Badass, Connor McGovern, and then Terrence Steele over on the right edge. If I told you, I slid you a sheet of paper and I gave you that list of names, and then on the opposite side, I gave you the list of names for the Washington defensive front, guys like Ryan Kerrigan, guys like
Chase Young,
Montez Sweat, guys like Chase Young,
Ionitis,
right, Deron Payne, right? From the interior outward, from the exterior inward, that defensive line is stout. It has no weaknesses. And the Cowboys' offensive line right now, there's a weakness at all five positions. How does this end well for the Cowboys and Andy Dalton? Now, keep in mind, this is also the same Andy Dalton that I was forced to fade. Yep. On Tuesday after Monday Night Football for a key, and the key reason was because he has not been getting rid of the ball. He's holding on to the ball too long. You know, he's accountable for at least two of the three sacks that the Arizona Cardinals got on him, because you got to get this ball out. You don't have time to go through your reads when it comes to a team like the Cardinals, and you don't have your starters up front. Now, when you compare the Cardinals defensive front, absent Chandler Jones, to the names we just threw out there from the Washington football team, Andy Dalton has two options, okay? You can either see your scripted read, and if it's not there, immediately get off it, go to your second read, and if that second read is not there, you better get rid of the ball. You better try to run out of the pocket. We get it. You're not Dak Prescott. You don't have a ton of athleticism and a ton of mobility, but you're also not Eli Manning or Peyton Manning when it comes to escapability. Andy Dalton has a little bit
of
a motor. He has a little bit of a motor, enough to get out of that pocket and prevent a drive-killing third down sack, or, you know, a 10-yard sack on second down that creates third and 17, third and 20. Because now, if you go third and long, you are playing right into the hands of this Washington defensive front. They want to pin their ears back. So they're going to try to put you in third and long situations. They're going to try to put you in situations where you're down multiple possessions on the scoreboard. And unfortunately, the Cowboys have shown us that they have a proclivity to going down multiple scores early in the game, which helps make them one-dimensional. Now, when that happens, Andy Dalton, are you even going to finish this game, brother? Are you going to finish this game, or is this going to be a DiNucci type game where they're going to have to go in with him? And I say that in all seriousness. I am not joking when I say this is a game that if Andy Dalton does not get rid of the ball quickly, and if they don't continue to get Ezekiel Elliott involved early, and if Ezekiel Elliott does not clean up the fumble issues, this Washington football team, this defense, and Ron Rivera, they're going for Dalton's soul.
Yep.
And so my question is, if the Arizona Cardinals can get to him without Chandler Jones three times, I think they hit him eight.
Yeah, I think so.
Times. Eight quarterback hits, three sacks against a Chandler Jones-less Arizona Cardinals team. You're going up against a Washington football team that can absolutely sack Andy Dalton six times, hit him 12 times on the afternoon. And if you're sitting here wondering if Dalton is going to improve it and not make those mistakes on the interceptions, I'm willing to wipe out the DPI, the lack of a DPI call. But again, the Jordan Hicks, that was a pick six that was dropped, right? So nonetheless, however you slice it, Andy Dalton, he's come in and he's proven that he'll give the ball away as well. Let's not forget, although he finished Dak Prescott's comeback against the Cardinals, because I saw someone say, oh, well, he came in and he won that game. The hell he did. He finished what Dak Prescott started. Dak Prescott had already established the lead before Dalton came in. So Dalton did his job as the backup. But Dalton also had a fumble, a lost fumble in that game. So in two games for the Cowboys, he now has a lost fumble and two, which could have been three interceptions. Andy Dalton, under pressure, and he's about to face a ton of it, are we going to see more interceptions for Andy Dalton? Are we going to see him put the church's money on the ground? All of those things are possible. It's not a game that the Cowboys are going to have to scheme lightly for. The handicap is massive here. So good luck, Andy. You're either going to get rid of that ball in a timely fashion and accurately, or it's going to be a very, very long day back there behind center.
Yeah, I made the point last week that if anybody has the continued excuse of the truncated offseason with no preseason snaps and all that, no. If anybody has the extended excuse for that, it's Andy Dalton, because the fact that he's a quarterback in a new system that didn't get a chance to play at all.
That's fair.
But that's now out the window moving forward, because he has this game under his belt. So All of the snaps that he would have gotten in the preseason over the course of those games, he threw the ball, I believe, over 50 times in this contest. If it wasn't over 50, it was close.
Win again.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Katie, what did we talk about prior to Andy Dalton's first start with the Cowboys? We talked about specifically how they cannot try to put him in a circumstance where they were trying to pass for between 50 and 60 times like they were doing with Dak Prescott unsuccessfully. And look what happened. 50 – I think they had
54 for 54. Yeah. But the issue why they had to do it this game was because Elliott's fumbles, and they had to get away from that. So that's it's true. One of those things where the things that you need to be able to do in order to get yourself away from the danger zone, the Cowboys aren't even able to execute those things correctly. So that's why it's just a hodgepodge of inconsistency and errors all over the place for the Dallas Cowboys at this point. Getting back to the roster shifts, because there's so many on a weekly basis with the Cowboys. We know that they moved up. Stephen Parker has been elevated from the practice squad the last 2 weeks. He was a signing during the season. They added him to the 53-man roster the last 2 weeks. He is now on the permanent 53-man roster. They elevated him because they clearly need him. He plays special teams. Last week, he played 8 snaps. I think he played more snaps than that the week before. But he's clearly in the safety rotation. And because of the lack of talent at the cornerback position, the Cowboys are playing a bunch of 3 safety looks right now, for whatever that's worth. So
it's not worth a damn thing.
It's not worth, right. It's not worth much, but it's what they're doing. But the biggest addition to the 53-man roster, besides Irving, who's going to start at left tackle, and besides Parker, who's going to get snaps on defense, is Randy Gregory.
Come on with it.
Randy Gregory is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Randall!
And I faded the hell out of the NFL for making us wait this long, but now that he's here, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, for rejoining us. We appreciate you. We need you!
Randy Gregory is back. Come on home. Listen, dinner's ready.
Dinner's
ready.
We've talked ad nauseum about the failures of the Cowboys defensive front. We just saw the stat today. PFF put out the stat. DeMarcus Lawrence is number 4 in the entire NFL in pass rush win rate. 21% of the time, he's beating his man in 2.5 seconds or less.
I thought he sucked.
It's the most frustrating thing. To me, it added to my frustration to see that number, the fact that you can be that damn good and still only have 1 sack on the year. I don't know whether it's – because, you know, that's only part of it. You have to beat your man.
Right.
But then after you beat your man – you have to get to the quarterback.
You got
to
get home.
And combined with that is the fact that once you beat your man and the quarterback sees you beat your man, he has to then have limited options to pass to based on your secondary coverage. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys don't have any. Like, right. It's not even that they have bad coverage. They don't have any coverage.
Right.
I think they really play 7 on 11. I don't think they have anybody out
there. PCS. Just no coverage.
None.
Just no coverage.
None. It's like when you drive.
PCS defense.
It's like. I don't know if y'all got this in Texas, but in D.C., you know, around certain government facilities, your cell signal just
the
goes
blackout.
Out.
Yeah.
It just goes out. You're driving down the highway, you pass a certain building, scramble. It goes out.
Yeah.
You had the people with the stingrays, when the motorcades come through, all cell signal drops. That's like what it is with the Cowboys in their coverage. Yeah. It just drops out.
They're perpetually going through a tunnel, right? They're like, oh, I'm going through a tunnel, I'm going to lose you. That's what they. That's the basically what they're telling every receiver that lines up. Hey, I'm about to go through a tunnel, so I'm going to lose you. My coverage is going to drop.
Go follow Darius Butler because he's been breaking down the Cowboys breakdowns. He's been breaking down the Cowboys breakdowns.
Fantastic work here recently.
Just incredible, incredible stuff. Showing just and that was one of the points that I made on Twitter earlier today. Some people try to look at these things and say that it has nothing to do with the coaching, but to my estimation, you have players who didn't make these mistakes before. So how can you say it's not coaching? They have brand new people in their ear at every level of the defense. New defensive line coach, new linebacker coach, two new secondary coaches, secondary, cornerback, safety, whatever coach you want to call them, Al Harris and Mo Linguist. We'll talk about them in a second. And they have a new defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So if all of these guys are saying, do things my way, and you have to think through it because you didn't have the offseason, you didn't have the preseason work, maybe you're not as quick to adapt after multiple years in another system. Mm-hmm. All of those things are on the table as possibilities. That split second that you're hesitating, that you're thinking, that we clearly saw, I talked about Anthony Brown, and I'm glad that Darius Butler broke it down. He looked like he was in mud mm-hmm. when they did that shuffle pass to Christian Kirk. And Darius Butler broke it down briefly. He was like, it's a sweep. It's essentially a sweep. How are you that slow to react to a sweep when you see your the slot defender being blocked by the wide receiver? It's clearly your opportunity to step up and make the play on the edge and to set the edge. They're thinking way too much.
And you know how the age-old adage goes, he who hesitates is lost.
Exactly.
And that it's so exacerbated at the NFL level because these are world-class athletes who are so fast, so quick, so strong. So, you know, whereas you might have gotten away with in college, you might have gotten away with an overthink here or there because right. you could recover with your own speed and your own athleticism. Well, now you're going against, you know, cyborgs, right? Yep. These are fellow cyborgs. And, you know, if you take the wrong angle, you probably could have recovered on the back end of that angle and closed out that tackle. It could be against a bad team in an NFL or a collegiate team. But when you're going against good teams and cornerstone players, now that 1 degree angle that was mm-hmm. – well, I should say the angle that was incorrect by 1 degree at the point of launch, by the time you get there, that guy is so fast that it's now – you're off 10 degrees. So now you're absolutely toasted. Now it's toast, and you see people like Anthony Brown in the last game, he made those mistakes. You see people like Darryl Worley making the mistakes week in,
every week.
Week in, week out. You saw Jalen Smith outside of the great game he had 2 weeks ago, against the New York Giants, overthinking, hesitating. Yep. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? And there are several other players on the defense as well that are doing that. And it goes back to what we were talking about in week one, and then we revisited in week two. This defensive install, because of lack of a traditional offseason, should have been done in phases. Yep. It should not have been as a whole shoved down the pipeline of these defensive players' throats. And I equated it in one of my articles to, you know, trying to get a bowling ball into a garden hose. Well, you should have started with the golf ball, and then you stretch out the garden hose, and then you go to a tennis ball. Or let's say start with the marble, then golf ball, then tennis ball, and work your way up. And then by the end of the year, most certainly going into the 2021 season with a full off season, then mm-hmm. you can start these full on massive installs. But the Cowboys, they rush the scene. And these are, you know, with the exception of certain relationships like Mike Nolan and Mike McCarthy, Mike Nolan and Al Harris. But for the most part, although there are relationships here, they're not necessarily relationships wherein these coaches and these position coaches have actually existed in their current roles somewhere else while tethered to the guys they're now tethered to. And I say right. that, for example, you mentioned Al Harris, you mentioned Mo Linguist. Where have they coached together before? Where have they coached together with Mike Nolan before? Where has Nolan and Tom Sula coached together before? Right. And yep. so forth and so on. Where has, you know, Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy coached before? Where has Doug Nussmeier and Mike McCarthy coached before? And so forth and so on. Now, thankfully for the Cowboys to this point, prior to injury, and we have to harp on that because yep. injuries include season-ending losses to Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins. You lose Travis Frederick to retirement. You lose Joe Looney to IR. You know, Zach Martin is now on the concussion protocol. Brandon Knight, they say it could be a couple weeks, but we've also seen Carter Williams have a scoped knee two consecutive seasons, and he missed more than just a couple of weeks on right. each occasion. Hell, he ended up on IR last season. So yep. let's just play it by ear when it comes to when Brandon Knight might come back. But all of that notwithstanding, the Cowboys prior to this point, they were number one in the league when it comes to yards gained weekly. They were averaging in the high 30, well, mid, low to mid 30s. Yeah, low 30s because the defense was allowing 36.5 points per game going into last week, I believe. So kudos to the offensive side of the ball for having it together for the most part, barring needing to fix the fumble and giveaway situation. But the defensive side of the ball, here's why I'll say this, and I'll lob it back to you. For those that are asking, well, you know, will Pat, will KD, the offense has had nearly as many changes coaching-wise as the defense, so why is the offense, when Dak Prescott was present, when Tyron Smith was present, so forth and so on, why at that point, outside of giveaways, why were they not nearly as bad as the defense? Well, couple reasons. Number one, there was some consistency between the presence of right. Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore, so that's number one. The defensive side of the ball doesn't have that consistency. They have, for the most part, a completely new regime. But also, if you notice what Mike McCarthy did, and by that I mean did not do, Mike McCarthy could have come in and said, okay, I'm going to retain Kellen Moore. However, because remember one of the prevailing questions was, is McCarthy going to call plays?
Right.
Is he going to force install his West Coast philosophy into Kellen Moore's playbook? McCarthy said, no, I'm going to let Kellen Moore continue calling plays, so there's consistency there. And I'm going to help install some of these West Coast philosophies. But he did not force feed it onto the offense. Whereas on the defensive side of the ball, they're being force-fed a hybrid system in a truncated training camp with no, you know, preseason, no mini camp, no April 6th start, which
none
is
of
what
the
they
installs.
Would have, none of
none
that
of the
stuff.
Installs.
That's the main difference. So that's why when people say, well, you know, it's either the coaches on defense or it's the players and their lack of execution. It is literally both
of those things. Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Literally both of those things. So the good news is, for those that are saying, well, you know, I saw someone say to me, a couple people say to me earlier on Twitter.com, this team is, quote unquote, so far from being a Super Bowl contender. I agree, but I agree in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, going into week 7, with the list of injuries and the giveaway right. issues, they are absolutely not a Super Bowl contender. But in 2021, you give me these healthy players back. You give me a full traditional offseason, and I'm willing to put all my money on the table and say the 2021 season will be the antithesis of what the 2020 season has become, as long as injuries don't again become an issue. So this team is not in need of a drastic, gross rebuild. 2020 is just 2020. It's anomalous on its head.
Yep.
It's incomparable to any other season that we've seen, not only in the NFL, but as human beings on the planet Earth.
Exactly.
So, yes, we went in with high expectations, and maybe that's on us, that we didn't put enough weight on how much of an anchor lack of this offseason could be. Maybe we didn't put enough weight on – and to this point, I mean, we didn't know how much of the defensive install Nolan was going to try to force on
right.
On the team. But now that we know, we can look back in hindsight and say, hey, you were doing too much, brother. You're doing too much. So the good news is this Cowboys roster as it stands, there's no need to dismantle it. There's no need to start shipping guys out, a point that you and I made when we were talking about should they stand pat yep. before the trade deadline. And we were like, hey, I'd give up some draft picks for some guys. And I would as well. You go to @VoiceOfTheStar on Twitter, check out the pinned tweet, shameless plug. And I have 5 guys I would absolutely make a trade for right now, but I would give up only respective picks for those guys. Let's not start talking about shipping guys out. Let's not start talking about cutting guys unless it's just someone – I don't want to say it because it tastes bad in my mouth, right? But our beloved left tackle – That's a discussion for 2021.
Listen,
but nonetheless,
I'm not even going to let you go there.
I'm not going to go there yet. I'm not there yet.
The funny thing,
but I'm
was,
not there yet. So let's put a pin in that.
I think everybody should definitely read your article that you put up on CBS about the five targets that you could see the Cowboys making a trade for to try to improve this team. From what I saw on Monday night, and this is with a caveat that I've already said, I give Andy Dalton a bit of a pass for 1 week of how he looked. If he looks that way again this week, he's definitely getting the
fade
for
me. Now we're talking about a pattern.
Yeah, right.
Then we're talking about a pattern.
I would not, with the trade deadline is November 3rd, I would not at this point want the Cowboys to trade any resources for any player that does not have multiple years on a rookie contract. I don't want them taking any long-term salary, any guy that they have to re-sign in the offseason, or else the trade wasn't good, unless it's a conditional pick type of situation. You trade a fourth-round pick, and it becomes a fifth-round pick if you don't re-sign the guy. Whatever, you know, those type of situations.
Right.
I don't have any interest in that. And if you follow me on Twitter, at Katie Drummond NFL, you saw me kind of pissed off. And if you were in my house, you heard me really pissed off. I lost an entire article that I worked all morning on. I was working on it from 8:30 in the morning, East Coast time, around 11 o'clock. I lost the entire article. I was almost done with it. I hit save, and the whole thing said, nah, bruh. We ain't saying nothing.
I told you to pay your power bill, dude.
Listen.
I told you to pay your power bill.
I'm not in the mood on this one. I'm not in the mood on this one. No, I'm too hurt. My article was basically about, I don't condone blowing this team up, but enough people are talking about it that I at least wanted to give people the facts of the matter on what happens or what it would look like to trade all of the people that you hear people squawking about we should trade. So I was basically going through the entire roster and saying, there's no way you can trade this guy. There's no way you should trade this guy. This guy, I could kind of see you trading. I did that basically for the entire roster. And I was on the secondary. And, you know, you start quarterback, go through the offense, go through the defense from the defensive line on.
Right.
I was on the secondary when the article was lost. But the fact is, there are a handful of people that I would be okay with trading. One is Sean Lee. Sean Lee comes back. Send Sean Lee to somebody that's going to allow him to compete. I don't think Sean Lee has much left in his career.
Where's send the value him, there, though?
I don't care. Just send him somewhere.
No,
give
you,
me a,
you have to
no,
care
no, no, no,
you
no.
have to make the other team care.
Listen. I would trade a conditional – if I was another team acquiring Sean Lee and I had a linebacker issue, I would trade a conditional fifth-round pick for Sean Lee. If he plays X amount of snaps, I'll give you a fifth-round pick for the rest of this season. If he doesn't play this many snaps, it goes in reverse to a sixth or a seventh round pick. That's a smart trade for a team in need of a linebacker. Sean Lee as a backup linebacker is somebody that can contribute to your team, and he can help the knowledge base of your team. I think that's a trade worth making.
But the Cowboys also need Sean Lee.
For what?
Depth.
For what?
If I ask you right now, are you 100% confident that Leighton Vander Esch will finish this season?
No, absolutely not.
So then you just answered the
That's not the same question. It's not the same question.
How is it not the same question?
Because the Cowboys aren't going to do shit in 2020. Let's just be real about it. That's an added angle. That's the whole angle that I need the front office to take. That's why I don't want to take on anybody that's just a one-year rental and somebody that's going to cost us a lot of money. The only moves the Cowboys should make are for the future. At this point, I'm not saying that you do a fire sale. I'm not saying that you rid this group of all of the high-paid guys because, A, you can't, and, B, I just don't want to absorb that much dead money on the cap for guys that I think will help them when they rebound in 2021. And I'm completely with you. The team is going to rebound in 2021. I have very little doubt of that. So I'm not giving away these stars for draft picks that are basically scratch-off lottery tickets. Oh, we might get a guy, you know what I'm saying? You trade Michael Gallup for a third-round pick so you can draft another guy that you hope is as good as Michael Gallup. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, none, zero.
You know what I'm saying? That's brain-dead thinking right there. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Sean Lee is most likely going to retire after the year.
I'm looking at it from the opposite team.
Right,
why would I give up something for Sean?
If you have a team that's a championship contender and you have a needed linebacker, why would you not try to get Sean Lee?
Because you don't know that he's going to be able to play more than a couple games this season. And here's why I say that.
That's why you give a conditional pick.
Right. But it's still, and again, you know, you and I are both on the same page as far as not overvaluing picks, particularly flyers on you know, mid to late day three. So I'm with you there. A sixth round pick is a throwaway. Okay.
Yeah.
I get
that. But it could be Anthony Brown.
But exactly my point. If I'm the other team and you're calling me and you're offering me Sean Lee and you're putting him on the block because I'm a contender and maybe I just, you know, I need one extra piece of linebacker depth there. There is no question I am intrigued by Sean Lee's leadership, his character, his ability to dissect offenses pre-snap, his ability still, because if you look at last season, he played one of the better seasons of his career as far as reading, reacting, getting where right. he needed yep. to be. However, Sean Lee probably did himself a great disservice or, depending on how you look at it, probably said it on purpose to make sure they didn't trade him. When you talk about having sports hernia surgery, all right, so that's intense enough. But when you release details that say they literally had to reattach the abdominal muscles.
Yeah, but that's the process. That's what that injury
is. But that's not that's always not always to that gravity, not always to that degree. Because you and I both know there are levels to this. Yeah. There are levels to those injuries. That's the worst level.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that he came out and basically admitted that he, at his age, on the wrong side of 30, who already has durability issues, just suffered the worst grade of a sports hernia injury. And also, when asked, does he have a timeline on when he projects that he might be back? He himself is saying, I'm not quite sure yet. I'm going to try to get to practice. Let me see how I feel. Let me see how it goes. If I'm another team and you're calling me this, I'm literally pointing at everything Sean Lee just said in that interview on Wednesday. And I'm saying this guy might not even see the field this year. And
right, if he so does, that's why.
And if he does, what am I getting? One or two games, but I'm giving up a flyer for one or two games?
So
a guy is probably going to retire anyway.
So, again, your entire argument is negated by the fact that I'm saying a conditional pick. If you say a conditional pick and the condition is that Sean Lee plays X number of snaps or else –
it's still a pick, even if it's conditional. Your condition is that it could move up if he plays X number of snaps.
No. See, you're missing the point. The condition can be
– give me your point.
The conditions can be an entire sliding scale. If he plays X amount of snaps, if he plays 200 snaps for the rest of the season, you get a fifth-round pick. If okay. he plays 100 snaps for the rest of the season, you get a seventh-round pick. If he plays zero snaps, then you don't get a pick.
Okay.
And then you're out of – then you're – then for the Cowboys' perspective, you're now rid of his salary for the rest of the season because and you don't have to cut him. You don't have to do the inglorious thing of cutting him, and you're out of the Sean Lee market.
Okay.
So these are the types of things that can work for a team in the position
and
the Cowboys
and
are right
willing,
now.
I'm willing – to if the conditions are structured in such a way in that if he doesn't play if he plays 0 to 10 snaps, I don't owe you a pick. Yeah. And then I could sign on for that. But now let me put on the Cowboys hat. Okay. From a Cowboys standpoint, because I, you know, shoot straight down the middle, so you got to see it from both ways. From a Cowboys standpoint, again, you just admitted that you're not 100% guaranteed or comfortable that LVE is going to finish the season. That's not to say he won't, but given his durability issues as well, he might not. So if he doesn't, and Sean Lee is there to come in,
I'm not there yet.
I'm not there yet. Keeping in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first episode that you've subscribed to, number one, welcome to the program. Happy to have you here.
We're still free right now. We're still free.
Oh, we're still free.
So, yeah, we're still free.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, if you are still free and you haven't subscribed yet, then you probably missed the point where I said an episode or two ago that when it comes to the Cowboys and the postseason, and Katie agrees, I agree they can and probably will win the NFC East, okay? Even though now I'm probably leaning more towards Washington
right.
now.
Right.
I've seen Andy Dalton now. So we'll see. Put a pin in that. But they can I'll say they have the chance to do so.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could win the NFC East and then go into the tournament. I don't see them going to the NFC Championship. I don't see them going to the Super Bowl. Certainly don't see them winning the Super Bowl as the team looks right now. But it's still, there's still 10 weeks of football to play.
There are. And I said the same thing before Monday night. I was saying the exact same thing.
And this might change for me. If 4 weeks from now, if the Cowboys, what are they, 2-4 right now? 4 weeks from now, if they're 2-8.
Are they only 2-4?
Yeah, it feels
damn,
like
it feels worse.
It feels like 2-14, dude. But if they're 2-8 in 4 weeks from now,
yeah.
I'm not wired to say tank this season. But then at that point, do you need to? Because organically you're doing it anyway. And then at that point I'd say, okay, well, let's talk about maybe moving out a guy like Sean Lee and seeing what we can get.
It's too late. The trade deadline is
only a couple
weeks. It's too late at that point. So that's more so my thing.
That's true as well.
I said earlier on Twitter, I don't believe in tanking, but I don't want the Cowboys to make the playoffs because I don't want them to go out there and try to lose, but I don't necessarily want to see them have the type of season that can get them to the playoffs and then they embarrass themselves. And I say as currently constituted. Because the way they look right now,
as they look right now,
the way they look right now, they're going to get blown out in the wild card game at home, and I really don't feel like going through that misery. I just don't. I love the prospect of having that chance of doing something, but the way they look right now,
and I said anything can happen.
I was the one that brought that up the last show.
Anything can happen.
That right. By the end of the season, if you're sitting there at 6-8. And you win the last two division games and you look beautiful doing it, and you could be that kind of hot going into the playoffs of winning the division, getting the home game, and then bouncing from there. Surely, I lost a lot of confidence in their ability to do even that based on Monday night. It might come back in this game against Washington. It might come back and I have to change direction again. But where I stand right now, entering week 7, I would rather the front office keep their stars that they have on the payroll.
Yes.
Don't even think about getting rid of any of those high-value guys. But other guys that you could possibly walk away from, Sean Lee, Dontari Poe, and Dontari Poe is a different thing because he has the anthem protest, the social justice protest during the anthem stigma attached to his membership on the Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot more to Dontari Poe's inclusion on this roster right now than just his play on the field. But guys like that, Everson Griffin, guys you can get rid of their salary and save a couple bucks on a season that aren't really making a big difference. Tyrone Crawford, not that anybody would want Tyrone Crawford, but guys that aren't going to be in your long-term plan, if you can get anything for them, if you can get 5th, 6th, 7th round picks that can be basically parlayed and traded up like what they did to get Tyler Badass. Mm-hmm. They gave up late round picks to move up into the end of the 4th round to get Tyler Badass, and now they have their center for the next 10 years. These are the types of things that I want the front office doing. I don't want anybody in the coaching staff holding guys back. I don't want any player not playing as hard as possible because your jobs aren't secure.
At all.
So please.
And what you put on film is forever.
Please believe me, I need those guys working as hard as possible.
Right.
But I need the front office to also realize what's in front of them and say, even if we make the playoffs right now, we're probably not going to be that squad that makes this miraculous run. So if we have the opportunity to get rid of, I don't want to call them dead weight. That's disrespectful. If we have the opportunity to get rid of guys that aren't contributing up to their salary, their contract, and their contract doesn't go beyond this year, and they're not in our plans moving forward, get something for them now. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, and also don't call me Shirley. But my main thing is we need to be careful in walking the line between having the pride to continue to compete, because like you said, it's easy for fans to say, well, let's just go ahead and tank the season and, you know, shut it down, Tank. Shut it down, you know, Zach Martin. Shut it down, Zeke. Shut it down, Gallup and Cooper and, you know, so forth and so on.
Right.
It's easy to say that, especially when you're talking to cornerstone players who are making $105 million,
yeah,
right? And not to say that they would, because there are no indications that they would. We've seen this team, DeMarcus Lawrence, Ezekiel Elliott, so forth and so on. We've seen this team in some of the worst situations seasonally under Jason Garrett and remained galvanized under Garrett, right, which is a topic for another discussion because of why all of a sudden the team is there. We didn't see these leaks coming out, right? So credit
we'll talk about that.
And we'll talk about that. So credit to Jason Garrett for at least being able to galvanize the team even through the worst times. But when you're talking about, you know, guys that are, you know, the 50th man on the roster, the 53rd man on the roster, these practice squad guys who are getting some opportunities because of, you know, the Cowboys haven't been ravaged by injury. And these are guys who are, they don't have the luxury. You know, they're on minimum salaries. They're on the bubble. Yeah. Not only are they playing for the Cowboys and trying to do as much as they can for the Cowboys, but going back to what I said when I said film is forever, you're when you play for an NFL team, you're auditioning for all 32 NFL teams. You're auditioning to remain with the team that is currently cutting your check, but you're also auditioning for the other 31 in the event your incumbent team decides to cut ties going forward. So these types of guys, the guys on the bottom half of the roster, they don't have the luxury to shut it down and tank because next season we'll get back to it. Next season, two-thirds of these guys will not have a job in Dallas. Right. And that's just the reality of the business. So, yes, it's easy for fans to say, well, let's just tank for this top pick. But when you're looking at it from an athlete standpoint, you know, the head of a household, the father of several kids, one or several kids, you have a life partner to take care of, whatever the case may be. You have family. Your mom, maybe, that you're taking care of, your grandparents, all of these responsibilities that you have. If I'm a player of, I don't care what I'm being paid, but more specifically, if I'm a player on the lower end of the salary spectrum for the Cowboys in the NFL, if a fan came to me and said, man, just go ahead and throw in the towel so we can get the top pick,
crack their jaw.
Kiss my ass. I have a family to take care of. I have a career that I'm trying to manage and lengthen. NFL stands for what, Katie?
Not for long.
Not for long. You don't have time. There is no later. There is no tomorrow. For players that are locked in to 5-6 year deals, $105 million, $90 million guaranteed here, et cetera, sure. Not to say that they would shut it down, but okay, they have
security. That's a different conversation, right?
Right. The bottom half of the roster, what security? You basically can be gone on Monday if you put out shitty film on Sunday. So tanking, telling those guys to tank, is disrespectful to a few things, but also the sacrifice, the blood, sweat, and tears they put into trying to get to this level. They don't want to lay down because they know that if they do lay down, they might not ever get back up. So stop asking these athletes to tank just so you can feel better about losing going forward, which in a lot of ways is really what it's all about. Expectations. People want to change the expectations because losing is hard. I get it. Losing is hard. It sucks. It's gutter trash. Nobody wants to lose, especially when you follow a team like the Cowboys and you have such high expectations year in and year out. I get that. However, there is a lot to be said for the individual that can look the adversity in the face and say, you know what? I might end up on a bad note for the rest of the season. We might end up 2-14. Yeah, we might. But I tell you what, I'm not just going to lay down and let it happen. Especially if I'm a guy fighting for my NFL career, my livelihood, for my family. So, no, stop telling these guys to tank. If anything, I'm telling these guys, get up, get off your ass, execute, sit down with the coaches, figure out why you're not bought in, figure out what they're asking you to do and where the disconnect is. Have these tough conversations. Have these hard conversations that could help turn the season around, at least to the point where you become a viable threat in January, because as we both know, it's just a matter of getting in and then anything can happen. Again, as the team looks right now, I don't believe they can make a Super Bowl run, but I do think if they figure out a way to align all the stars that need to be aligned, and yes, it's going to be exceedingly difficult because there are a lot of stars that need to be aligned in order for the Cowboys to become viable threats in January. But if for whatever, if there's even a remote chance they can, you have to stand up and make the necessary moves to do so, be it trade options that you and I both put out there, in addition to guys sitting in rooms man-to-man instead of leaking information and simply saying, hey, coach, this is what you're asking us to do. I'm not comfortable with this. Coach looking back at you and saying, you know what? I've asked you to do this. You've struggled with that, but you're doing well here. How can we find a happy middle ground so that we can succeed? You can keep your job. I can keep my job. These are uncomfortable conversations that need to be had in an uncomfortable year.
Yep.
So do that. instead of taking the escapist route and trying to find the nearest fire escape and jump off and saying, oh, well, it's over. It's not over until it's over. And if those on the tanking side of the opinion have a problem with me not ever wanting to lose on purpose, I take that as a compliment.
Right.
Because it tells me that I am wired to figure out how to win, whereas some people are wired to figure out how to make the losing feel better. The question is, which side of that coin are you on?
We're going to put a pin in that conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are joining us on the free on iTunes or Spotify or one of the many places that you can get the free mini edition of Catch This Fade, I implore you, you want to hear the rest of this episode. You want to hear every episode. The Tuesday one is only for subscribers. The rest of the Friday show is only for subscribers. Go to patreon.com/catchthisfade. Make sure that you are subscribing. It's a cup of coffee for all the audio, and it's basically an extra value meal with large fries for all of the audio, video, pre-roll, bonus content. $10 for the bonus content tier, the Friends of the Show tier, $3 for the patron tier. Make sure that you are subscribing. We are going to be right back with the rest of the show. And in the rest of the show, we're going to talk about these leaks. We're going to talk about the game against Washington coming up. And we're going to do another edition of Play the Percentages, where we decide basically this show we're going to do who's the bigger disappointment. Last time it was who gets the most blame. This time we're going to do who's the bigger disappointment. So make sure you're around for that. And of course, our Predict the Headline segment. All of that is coming in the second half of the Catch This Fade podcast. We'll be right back.